gentleman Jason Wetzel from historic downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina, with Mr. Lynn Pryor, creative genius of the Gilbert Theater. Good evening, Lynn. How are you?
Good evening, Jason. Here we are, 1 week later,
yes,
around the table. I'm just loving every minute of this. We're sitting here with this green felt on the top of the table. Why? Because James got after us months and months ago because making too much noise. And so I bought this green felt, and I hope it's helping. And then you are drinking this color coordinated, even though my voice isn't, speech is not coordinated. It is. These beautiful deco glasses.
Art deco glasses.
I'm telling you, this is all too gay for words. it just doesn't stop. But I was so thrilled last weekend. We talked about my finally finishing the removal of all the ephemeral aspects of our early eight years. And they're all safely in this these envelopes. But you just, I failed last week to put things about Marilyn Sachs back in the envelope, and there it was, a glass of water there, and you were about to have a fit that I was going to knock it over and ruin that. And you're constantly reminding me, with good reason, to please be careful with these things. They are irreplaceable.
This is Gilbert. This is North Carolina theater history.
People may come and go, but ephemera in the right hands lasts forever. I think I'm turning that around.
I like it.
But now I'm very eager to talk with you about what is next. You've given me these archival boxes with the archival paper, but do you want me to take the contents out of the envelopes and lay them out in these special boxes and separate things with the...
Right now, I would just say leave them where they are. Put the envelopes in the archival boxes because that'll diminish the moisture from getting.
I see.
That'll help. So just take the envelopes and put them in the boxes.
All right.
Put them all in one, as many envelopes as you can load up in there. Uh-huh. That keeps the moisture and humidity away from them.
All right.
But it's interesting that we will take these in a year and get a grant written and have these digitally produced, put on a database with North Carolina museums where people all over the world could then search the database for what was it like in the 20th century, late 20th century in Fayetteville? What was the theater scene in the community theater?
Yes.
That's where we're heading with this.
Well, and thank you for reminding me that even though when some of us leave this mortal coil sooner than others, sooner or later, our workling lives on. And so thank you for that, Jason. Well, so, yeah, I think that was my last question about that. Now, I had such fun finding this and that over the last few weeks. And here I just have to show this photo to you, and I want James to see it also. This is a picture, I think perhaps it's the only one we have, of our minuscule light booth, which would seat two people very, very intimately. And I think I described months and months ago what our lighting setup looked like.
If you could do that again.
Well, it was, we had track lighting over the stage. That's all I could afford. Since there hadn't been one grant, I'm telling you. There was not one penny. I was paying every, in those early days, I was paying everything myself. And happy to do it. But we had track lighting. And then we had those sliders in the light booth. All the lines came into the light booth, of course. And then you can see here is this. Here you see this panel with the sliders that we all used to have in our home when you had these track lights and you wanted to, you know, some of them were dimming and so on, and up and down, the kids would play with them and all. Well, I put a whole panel of them, about 10 or 12 of them, all together. And the light person, and here you see this person with the headset and looking very professional with a beard and all. I can't remember who this person is. But he'd sit there, and when they needed a light change, you just move the sliders up and down. But when you wanted a special effect and it had to happen all at once, what the person designing the lights would take a piece of cardboard and cut places out, little rectangles, so that if you put the board on top of the sliders and pushed it down all together, some sliders would stay up, others would come down. You get in the picture of that. I mean, I think cavemen had similar. Anyway, that's what we had at first, and so anyway, and then we had. You see, here's the you can dim then the house lights right here. Here's the dimmer for the house lights. Did I tell the story about one of the last when I was after I seated people, because I was this usher. I was the custodian, I was the usher, I was the artistic director, third importance. And anyway, so when it was time for the show, when I got everyone seated, separating couples if they were different heights and all that, I would knock on the door gently to tell the light person that they were about to start. Then I would sit down on the actor's bench and watch the play, wringing my hands or pacing or whatever, depending on the play. If James was in and I was pacing, no doubt. And I sat down, but nothing happened. And nothing happened. And finally, James is going to have to blurp this out. I said, oh, I'm in this play. And I forgot that. So I had to go dash by, walk in front of the whole audience, go around back, go through the priest hole into the dressing room. Of course, all the other actors were standing there all just ashen. What's happened? We were given places, 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago. And I said, no, I don't know. We had some problems. I don't know how long it was before I told people that. I said, oh, that's right. I'm in this play. So that gives you an idea why that was probably my last stage performance. Too pathetic for words. Anyway, but that what I really wanted to talk about at this time together is play readings. I love play readings. Well, of course, we theater people do. But people love stories. And one way of getting them is to have an evening of reading a play. When I was in Berkeley, for years, I was in two play reading groups. One of them, I just would leave my apartment at 7 in the evening and walk over just one block from the University of California campus and go to this beautiful Julia Morgan building and meet with friends in a beautiful room with the fireplace. And this is how we organize our play readings. Marge was in charge of choosing the play. Marge would get the number of copies that was needed. And then we would all sit down and wait for Marge to tell us what to do. We would just sit there. And she, tonight's play is, now folks listening, this is one way of doing this. There are a dozen other ways, but this is how we did it. It was successful. Someone has to be in charge of these things, right? With good taste. She would choose marvelous plays and she would say, tonight's play is blah, 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 blah. And sometimes, I remember once it was Oscar Wilde. What was the name of it? It'll come to me in a minute. And Lynn, you're doing this part. And Mary, you're doing this part. And Bill, you're doing this part. And just literally toss the scripts to you. You know, talk about a cold reading. I mean, but anybody listening to my absolutely lousy reading of poetry and bits from newspapers in the last 6 months, wondering, as I said earlier, how did he ever get this job? I was very good at cold reading. People complimented me. Anyway, so Marge would then give some background about the play and say your part, a little bit about the plot and all. And then we would start reading. And we had not read it before. And you just, these were all skilled readers. And we sometimes would have an audience, like a husband would come, a wife would come. And sit on the air and just sit there, but we just simply were reading plays. And by and large, my memory serves, we did not stop for any reason. Oh, and then Marge would read the stage directions that were applicable. And we would just go through it like this and you know, gradually warm to the character and so on. But there's something very, very, I mean, all actors should do this whenever they can. And for the last 2 years, I have threatened to start a play reading group who just did it this way, sit around this very table and do just as I'm describing it. It hasn't happened. I don't know why. But then, of course, we did this on stage for invited audiences. You know, we've done that in the Gilbert, you know, several times, and I just loved it. But anyway, Marge, once a month, Marge, we'd all get together and do that. And that I just loved it. Then once a year, we would all choose a play that we were going to do for an audience. As a staged reading. And a staged reading, for the listeners who don't know, you carry the script, but you're not sitting on stools or in chairs around a table or whatever, but you're on your feet, but perhaps going back to a stool back and forth. There's some blocking, in other words. And you do some stuff. And maybe you have a few props or something, but a stage reading is you're holding the book, and they're wonderful because that gets you, if you feel the impulse to, you know, hey, I want to get out of the chair here and start moving a bit, and that's what, so we would choose one of our plays out of the 11 for that previous year, and do as a stage reading we would have 40 or 60 people do up there. In this gorgeous room, the huge fireplace and a Christmas tree, and just do that, and then have refreshments afterwards, and it was a wonderful evening.
How did you get motivated to warm to the character, and how long would it
take? Well, of course, when you are when you're doing it month after month, it's just that you just dive in and you'll read, you know, maybe Marge would have said a little bit about the character, and or you'll read the description. She may give you 5 minutes or something to read about your character, and she would have given us plot points and so on. But very soon you're just swinging with it. It was just marvelous. Then I was in a second group in Berkeley, which was more these were professors and very intellectual group, and I didn't enjoy it nearly as much. The plays were very esoteric, and once I suggested a play, and of course everyone turned in horror.
What did you suggest?
Oh, I forget what it was, but it was something that was not as very very not as erudite enough as I remember. Anyway, play reading. I'm wondering, anybody listening to this out there, you know, we have listeners from all over the world, including the UK, James tells me, and I have a suspicion who they are. Perhaps this will plant a seed, and we might get some people organizing play reading around the world. You can't beat it for socializing and for good, clean fun. Now, as I pick up my glasses to see what was going to be the second thing on our topic this week, foreign language plays. Out of the 120 that we've done, if I can pronounce this over, this word, our body of work, we did one foreign language play. It was in Spanish. Gosh, I rediscovered it this past week, as I'm saying. This past week has been one discovery after another. I felt like a foreigner in a foreign land. I mean, and then I'll read the program and it'll say, Lynn Pryor directed. I'll say, Lynn Pryor can't even remember this play. No, that's not true. That's not true. But I did not direct this foreign language play. I think Marcella did. I know she did, and it was marvelous. But I would encourage companies out there in our community and our county to think about that, because we do have large Spanish-speaking population, don't we? And we need to be thinking about that. And not always just expecting them to join our world in our with our language. Any questions, Jason?
Well, I wanted to know during the Spanish play, what type of what was the play?
It was. I'm going to have to pull it out. I did not pull.
No, all right, that's okay.
Okay, and it was. Anyway,
it's all right. But what was the reaction of the audience? What type of audience did you
have? Well, a lot of Spanish speaking, and they're so glad you asked me. It was just wonderful. They felt like someone is really doing something for us. They were sitting and smiling and laughing, as I remember. It was very, very, very rewarding.
Because I don't remember anything being done in Fayetteville like that.
As far as I know, it hasn't, right. Jason, thank you so much for being the impetus of this whole thing about the oral history of the Gilbert, putting up with my blathering on. And I'll see you next week.
We'll look forward to it, Lynn.